Hello and welcome to My Abnormal Life Podcast, Episode 6. In this episode, I'll be talking about music's profound ability to command a response. Thanks for tuning in and enjoy the show. Welcome back to My Abnormal Life, as told by me, as heard by you. I've been enjoying creating this podcast for you guys. Keeping myself accountable to creating more content has been a little bit more difficult than I'd like it to be, but I know it's been a little bit longer since I released the last episode a couple of days early. I had a lot of stuff going on last weekend, and there's been a lot of changes happening in life in general, as I'm sure a lot of you out there can relate to. Change is always happening in life. But I feel like this podcast would be nothing without me shedding some light on my background with music, as music has been a massive part of who I am to this day. And in my developmental times and my struggles, it's really been an outlet for me to express myself when words really couldn't get the job done. And I feel like music in a lot of ways commands response where words and emotions even don't really have the opportunity to shed light on, you know, the way that you're feeling. And that's something that I'll touch on a little bit later here in this podcast. But in order to give you guys some context on what music means to me, I think we have to go back to the early days of my first memories with music. And really, my first memory with music is, you know, watching cartoons as a kid in a diaper, running around a coffee table, listening to Barney songs and doing my marches. I know my mom probably has some home videos of me that would probably be pretty humiliating now, of me running back and forth, chanting Barney songs. And if any of you out there, you know, can relate to the Barney crew, hit me up, because Barney was my shit. And I feel like a lot of you 90s kids out there can relate to that as well. Being risen in a time where, you know, television and, you know, Saturday cartoons were in their prime, and all of the content that was being put out, it was just golden stuff. The golden age of being a kid, skip-its and jump roping and all that stuff. But I digress. The early days with music for me, you know, came from cartoons and commercials and jingles and the innocence of being a kid. And I think there's something to be said with being infantile and relating to, you know, melodies and connecting with melodies. And even now, watching my nephews sing along to songs and nod their head to beats. And my nephew really loves listening to AC/DC and Motley Crue, and that all comes from his dad enjoying that type of music as well. But it's awesome to me to really see that in my nephews, and them being able to relate to music. And, you know, it wasn't necessarily Barney, but I know they also, you know, listen to the theme songs of their favorite shows, and that gets them amped up and it sets the tone for it. And music in a lot of ways sets the tone for what you're about to be feeling. You see it in movies all the time, whether it be a horror movie where the music gets really screechy or loud or sudden tones, give you what the expectation for what mood or emotion you're supposed to feel in that moment. And I think that's massive for me, being that, just to give you guys an example too, if any of you have ever seen the movie Insidious, that score for that movie is insanely creative. And I show a lot of appreciation for movies that can use that creativity in a way that no other production team can. So huge shout out to the director and production team of Insidious for being able to create a terrifying environment for setting the tone. And if you've never seen the Insidious movies, I highly recommend getting an idea of what I'm talking about with that. But that really kind of encapsulates what I'm trying to say of setting the tone. But not only does music set the tone for an emotion or a mood, I think it connects us in a way, whether it be a melody or a certain chord progression or, one note and you recognize that song or that feeling, that emotion. Like, you'll never forget the first thought that came across your mind when you heard a song that you related to, whether it be, you're going through a heartbreak, or whether it be at church during your worship, or hearing your favorite song on the radio and just having a good time, or it reminds you of baking cookies with your grandparents, or like it's almost as physical as a smell that you remember. But at the same time, it commands a response. It commands a psychological response, and I think it's really interesting to study the way that music connects us as a race. But to dive a little bit deeper into my own personal connection with music and melodies, my introduction to relating to music really started with playing guitar when I was 10, 11, between 10 and 12 years old. I had taken a liking to guitar, and it just really interested me. My stepdad had been a lead guitar player in many bands, and that really influenced me to pick up the guitar. And after messing around with a couple of his guitars and my dad's guitars, whether it be electric and acoustic, just hitting the strings type of thing. I got my first guitar when I was 12 years old, and for you guitar junkies out there, it was a wannabe Stratocaster. That same, I think everybody had the same look for the first guitar. It had that Stratocaster design with a tremolo, but at the same time, it was just a pawn shop guitar, and it was a humble beginning. And my stepdad kind of took me under his wing and taught me, the first position chords and how melodies are and some phrasing. But from there, I really took a honing to what type of music that I wanted to play, and it wasn't really a specific type. I wanted to learn how to make cool sounds, to put it the most simplest way that I can. And at that point, I had no idea how it was going to progress. I had no idea how deep I was going to find myself impassioned to music. Coming from listening to hair metal, to Motley Crue and Van Halen and Rat and Dokken, and the list goes on and on and on, to getting a little bit more influenced by blues music, to Eric Clapton and Stevie Ray Vaughan and even Muddy Waters, and going back to John Lee Hooker, back in the way, way, way long ago. Learning those riffs and those tones and the phrasing, basically beating the strings until my fingers were numb, and until my dad's ears would bleed and the neighbor's ears would bleed too, 6 hours a day. And thinking, coming into life now and not prioritizing the time that I'd like to pick up the guitar and be as creative as I used to be is kind of frustrating. To say that I had such passion for something and now it's hard to set aside the time to play guitar, and at the same time it isn't, because if I really wanted to get it done, I would, and I'd prioritize the time. It's the same way as I prioritize time to get my workouts in and do the self-care. And maybe that's something too that I can use as part of my self-care. And documenting everything here on this podcast and being as transparent as I can for you guys, and to have that translate in a way for you guys to connect and be at wits with your world and be at peace with your world and impact, and to be able to share my thoughts and my expression with you guys, I'm grateful for, and for your guys' reception and sake of creating more content and keeping myself accountable. I'd like to be able to share my music with you and start doing some IGTV covers or start singing on maybe even podcasts. Not this one because I'm not feeling it right now, but I'd just like to give you guys some background on why I love music so much. From that first guitar that I was gifted for, I think it was either Christmas or my birthday. My birthday's in November, and obviously Christmas is a month later. So it was around that time frame in the winter time. And from the time I got that first guitar, man, I didn't know how to change strings on it, so I beat that thing to death. And I didn't change a string, I think, for 2 years. And then I got another guitar around the same time for my birthday. It was a BC Rich Warlock with a Floyd Rose bridge. And man, that thing is awesome. I still have that to this day. And, you know, I'm so appreciative to my parents for gifting me that. And not to get too far off of track and get too techie, I marginally was very self-taught. I'd hear a song and I'd go into my little lab, turn my amp on, and I'd play the same freaking chords over and over and over. I'd play the same melodies until I got it down slowly, more quickly, mostly from tablature. I've never been good at reading music. That's something that I've wanted to pick up later in life, and maybe I will, but mostly from tablature and even writing my own is how I've kind of transcribed my music onto paper. But it's been a huge outlet of expression for me, being self-taught and those years and hours and endless time. Like, I've, to give you guys some perspective on that, I would go to school, come home from school, play guitar until midnight, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, when my dad would already be to sleep, and I'd turn it down in increments, and sometimes he'd have to tell me to turn it down even more. And I did have headphones, but it just, you know, it doesn't sound the same through headphones. You want to be loud. You want to hear your creativity through the virtue of being able to play the music through the amp as loud as you want. Be independent. And it came to a point where I was getting bored to be playing on my own. You know, I'd started to get very good at, you know, my technique, and I'd gotten good at understanding what type of music that I enjoyed, but I'd never played with another person before, and I'd never been able to be creative in a room or like-minded musicians, I guess you could call it. And it wasn't until I got to high school and met a good friend of mine, Devin, who was actually in my wedding over the spring. We started playing music together and playing guitar, and that was the first time that I had ever really played with a peer. And we had such high hopes of one day having a band, and he did end up going on to play in a band in bars, and that's something that I've never really experienced still. And I hope to. I really do, whether it be being a tribute band or, you know, playing acoustic guitar for an elderly home even, or whatever the case may be. I have played little gigs here and there with another buddy of mine, Storm, who we'll talk about a little bit later. You know, I'd like to be in a full band and play music for people, because it's been, again, I'll repeat myself in it being an outlet for expression that commands response. And it wasn't until I started playing with Devin that I realized that, man, this is massive. You know, being able to have creative minds in one room and just smile when you create something great that you know is great. And that's my first instinct when I hear a great piece of music, is to smile and laugh, because it commands response, and that's my response to it. And in a lot of ways, I think music overrides a lot of the lack of human nature. And what I mean by that is, let me paint a little bit of a picture here for you. Is you can be sitting in a room completely silent, and it could be kind of a somber tone in the room, and you could play a song that reflects that somber tone in that room, and I guarantee somebody in that room is going to start crying or showing or wearing their emotions. And if they aren't, then man, I don't know, they're just not human, because I think music commands response in such a way that many things can't. It's so amazing to the way that music is captivating. And I think that's one of the reasons why I have such compassion for it and why I appreciate music, whether it be, country music, which I'm not the hugest fan of, but I do appreciate the stories and, the musicianship that does go into the studio and countless hours of production and mixing and mastering and putting an album out. I do appreciate all the work that it takes because I've been there. I've had a home studio and I've written music and I've recorded microphones, put drum beats together, I've recorded guitar parts, layers, dubbing, I've mixed, I've mastered, nothing to the production level of putting an album out, but I know the hours that go into it. And before you have a preconceived notion about a certain type of music, understand the amount of time that it takes an artist to get into the studio, to record a take, to get it to sound the way that it's supposed to be. And the executive producer behind the album might have somebody record something 42 times before it sounds right, or they're just a natural born talent and it sounds right the first time. But, I definitely do have appreciation for music and the amount of time it takes to be creative and the courage it takes to put your content out there. But it wasn't until I myself started playing with others that I started to get the courage to share my content. And back in the day, I did have a YouTube channel and I'd post the occasional cover. And I met a couple other friends and we'd make skits on YouTube and we'd play guitar and just the goofiest stuff. And that led into later in high school when I was in guitar class and I met some other musicians, and one of them was Storm. And a dear, dear friend of mine, we ended up writing some of the deepest and creative music that I've ever written to this day, hundreds and hundreds of songs that I still remember, and I have just an endless catalog in my mind of music that I'd someday like to record and share with the world. But we ended up playing like little coffee shop shows, and they were a really intimate acoustic setting for music, but there was nobody that has been able to challenge me musically since Storm. And Storm, if you ever do listen to this, man, I appreciate your musical mind and your creativity. You've always been a huge influence on my perspective on music. And man, I'd have nothing but the best wishes for you. I know you're still performing and writing music in your own way, and just know I have a massive appreciation for what you do. But moving on to being an artist and a songwriter, I think one of the biggest appreciation points for me with music is that the way that we relate to it is one person can listen to a song and it paints that picture of that story a certain way, and a second person can listen to that song and they take a completely different turn and direction for that story. And that is so awesome to me because, again, it commands a response and music doesn't judge. And I feel that the human race can relate to music in such a way that it exposes and expresses their deepest empathies in a way that they can't. I feel like it uncovers in a lot of ways some emotion that's been dormant. There's been times where I've been at church, for example, and I've been kind of not necessarily sitting on an emotion, but church has been a place for me, like during worship, where a certain song will come on and I surrender it all, like my emotion, and I just turn into a sop of tears, man. It's amazing what music can do. It really is. And if you're listening to this and you feel like you're somebody that hasn't really truly experienced that profound appreciation for music, I challenge you to think back to a time when you were down or even happy or sad or whatever the case may be, and find that time in your life when there was a song that you related to or found compassion for. And I guarantee you that there is a time when you appreciated a song, and there still is. And I think that's a beautiful thing about music as well, is that you can listen to a song in your childhood and relate to it in one way, and you can rediscover that song later in life, and it'll mean a completely different thing. And for me, one of the artists that does that is John Mayer, and in particular one of his albums, the Continuum album. If you're not familiar with John Mayer, I encourage you to dig through his discography, as the creative mind that that man has is it's out of this world. And I appreciate his music and his style a lot. He's an inspiration to me, a huge influence on my playing and the way that I view songwriting in general. But one of his songs on that album is Stop This Train. And that's a song that during my hard times, and that really helped me, kept chugging along, not to be too literal with the lyrics here, but you're never going to stop the train of life. And that song is basically a conversation between him and his father, and his father being a little bit older and wiser and saying that you're never going to be able to change the past, and the only thing that you can do is keep forging your future and working towards a later point in your life where you can look back on your life and feel like, wow, I'm glad that I didn't stop the train. And realizing that you don't have anything to regret is massive. And I think all of us truly want to get to a point in our lives where we don't have to feel like we have to look back on our lives and recollect that we didn't do something, or we didn't have an interaction that we wanted to, or we didn't accomplish something that was left open-ended, or we didn't tell somebody that we cared for them enough, or whatever the case may be. We can go through the what ifs and the questionable moments all we want. But to tie that all back into music and it commanding response, it can all be drawn back to that in many ways. And being able to listen to a song and it meaning something in one way, shape, or another, has a profound meaning at one time, or it could mean nothing later in life. And that's another mystery that I appreciate about music. But to get back about being an artist and back to creating music, I've even ventured into hip hop a little bit. Me and the best man at my wedding, Austin, we made a mixtape and we dabbled in rapping. We called ourselves In Reverie, and Man, we went all in on the mixtape rap thing, and it was a lot of fun, creating hip hop and using a lot of our influences and using a lot of the beats from our favorite rappers at the time, and it was a lot of fun. And while I was going through, while we were both going through a lot of the time, it was a huge outlet for our expression, and we had fun with it. And I appreciate that type of music as well. The craft that it goes into hip hop and making rhythm and making things rhyme in a way or wordplay and the style and being able to create your own thoughts and really put pen to paper. I have a distinct appreciation for that type of music in specific. It's not easy to be brave and courageous and put pen to paper and rhyme or make your deepest grief rhyme, or in general making it's essentially a poem tied together in a way that sounds great underneath layers of a beat or attach a hook to it or a chorus or a melody, but not digging too far into the hip hop. My favorite artists at this point, or I find myself drawing back to listening to, if you guys want to check some of my favorites out, a huge one for me right now is Khalid. I try not to go too mainstream all the time. I like to explore and go a little bit underground and see what the up-and-comers are creating. But Khalid is a very creative mind in the industry right now. I think he's going to be very huge over the coming years. I enjoy heavier music still, Wage War. I still listen to a lot of A Day to Remember, Avenged Sevenfold. What else have I been listening to lately? I listen to a lot of Logic. Nipsey Hussle, rest in peace to him. He would have been a massive, massive artist. Is a massive artist. He created a little bit of a legacy before his passing. But those are a couple of my favorites at the moment. If you guys want to dig into listening to some of that music, you can. Feel free. Let me know what you think. As I create more content, you guys, I don't want to be too long-winded with this episode, and I never mean to. Sometimes when I get off on tangents, I get really passionate, as I'm sure you guys have been come to aware. I'd like to start making some IGTV content. I'm not sure what you guys feel about that, or if you guys are even familiar with. It actually wasn't until last week when I saw some influencers creating some videos that I even got the idea. Like, huh. That could be a different avenue to keep me accountable to making some more content. I'd like to do some vehicle walk-arounds or create an exercise catalog or maybe even do some skits on there, some comedic content, or just document my journey by doing some vlogging, taking some song requests, doing acoustic covers. Any suggestions that you guys have, I'd just like to create some content for you and show you guys that I'm a little bit more dynamic than just talking on a podcast, and I want to be able to create value and impact you guys in as many ways as I possibly can. But I'd like to draw this to a close now. Thanks for listening to this episode, you guys. Hope you enjoyed my spiel about music, and if you'd like to have a conversation about music, or if you have a specific song that makes you feel a certain way, or if you want me to listen to a song, I'd love to listen to it and give it an honest chance. Thanks for tuning in, guys, and I'll see you in the next episode.